It's Friday, May 27th, 2005. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Welcome to the show, everyone.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you live.
This is the only way forward.
From historic Ford Island, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Todd the geek from Geek News Central, and welcome to the podcast. Hey, everyone, it's been a wonderful, wonderful week here in Honolulu. The weather has been absolutely beautiful, and I know across the United States and all of our European listeners, I know that the weather has been warming up there. And I tell you, it's been unseasonably warm here. People say, unseasonably warm in Hawaii. I thought it's always warm in Hawaii. And it is, but it's been in like 85, 86 degrees. And it's normally not quite this warm this early in the season. But hey, I enjoy it. I love the heat. And the weather's been beautiful, and what can I say? We're here in paradise, and I'm glad you're tuned in and joining us, and welcome to our big family here. Hey, for all the new listeners, I want to make sure that you check out our website at www.geeknewscentral.com, and check out all the great content on the website, and make sure that you get over into the podcast archives and check out what we have there. Also, get signed up for our mailing list. You're not going to get inundated with too much mail. It's a real low volume, and particularly just comments about the show. But for those of you that are regular readers on the website, you'll have noticed that the content has been a little bit slacking this week. And part of the reason is I have a midterm that I have to take tomorrow morning at about 9 o'clock in the morning. So I'm recording early here. It is 8:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time. So I am probably about 2 hours ahead of my normal schedule. So I'm trying to get it done so I can get off and get to sleep early tonight so I can make sure that the brain is good and fresh when I sit down to take my midterm tomorrow morning. You know, as expensive as those college courses are, you just have to make sure that you keep the GPA up. If you don't, it makes you cringe, and then you have you look at the amount of money that you spend out, and you want to kick yourself. But lots of great news today, and I have a lot of information to go through, so I'm going to get right into some of our news and information that I have collected as far as kind of administrative notes. And I do want to make a little bit of an observation that I read a lot of websites on a weekly basis, and I read Engadget dedicated. I read that website almost every day, and I probably read Gizmodo every other day. And it's one of those just two sites that you just have to read. You know, a lot of great content on there, and I don't know what it is, but I might as well just read one site, because those two sites, either they are copying from each other, or they, I don't know, because it's just like one will put something up and the other one will mimic it, and it's almost one for one, an exact replica of what is on one another's site. So I just find that quite disturbing. You know, come on, guys, let's try to figure a way to make yourself look separate. You know, just make it appear that way. I know that you're competing with each other, and there's some history there. And for those of you that have been around in the weblog community are familiar with that history. We won't go into that at all tonight, but I'll leave it at that. You know, I was listening to Steve Gilmore's podcast earlier this week, and his first one with Dave Weiner. And I think I talked about this before. And he made a comment on there that, and it was quite a bold comment, saying that he didn't think there was any other tech competition. And I kind of had to scratch my head a little bit because, you know, Leo Laporte and the guys that are doing those podcasts and the TWIT podcast and even the Tech Podcast Network, I think there's some competition out there, and I don't know what his numbers are, I don't care, but it was a pretty bold statement for him to make, and we'll see. But you know, that leads me into something that the Tech Podcast Network today released. They put out a press release, and it basically talks about the number of listeners that we have determined how many, and basically in April, 16 of the 22 members of the site went and submitted their weblog files, and they were run through a application that we built ourselves, and we were able to determine the unique IP count. In other words, how many unique IPs are coming into the shows, the total number of downloads, what the bandwidth was, and along with some other spurious information that we haven't released. But today we released a press release basically saying that during the month of April, we had more than 100,000 unique listeners. So of the 16 of 22 shows, 16 of the 22 shows that we're reporting, we know for a fact that there were over 100,000 unique IPs that actually basically reached in, grabbed podcasts, and downloaded them. Now, it looks like our total downloads were around 167,000, give or take a few. And we moved about 2.5 terabytes of data. Now, in addition to that, we've got some members that are streaming. They have regular, I don't want to say old-fashioned because that'll make them mad, but some of them have regular audio streams, and some of the shows have are, you know, really well-followed. And the we could have added another 400,000 numbers, 400,000 downloads to that number that we reported, but we didn't have a real good way to break out the unique IPs. So I think that's pretty significant. I think for a initial look, and you know, that was basically just 16 shows in our first month of looking at log files. And some of our members, basically some of our bigger shows didn't have their logs completely in order and weren't able to report. So I'm pretty happy with those numbers. Now, May, we've added, well, we're up to about 40 shows. Now, I don't know how many are actually going to become affiliates because we launched our affiliates program this week. And the only people that are required to report their weblogs or submit their weblog files are people that actually signed up for affiliates. I have a pretty good idea where we're going to be at. So I know in May our numbers are going to be much higher. But I'll let you guys read the press release that is on the techpodcast.com website. And I think it's some great information there that you guys can glean some information from. Sorry about that. I had to unplug a an audio jack here. So that's podcasting at its best. In addition to that, I want to talk about our book contest. And I got a whole bunch of entries. And boy, I tell you, some of you really, really were pleading. And and some of you wrote some real nice notes here. Now, I am going to say this. Matthew, who just got married, no, you're not getting a free book, buddy. And this is why, okay? Don't make the mistake that I did, all right? When I got married, you know, the BBS scene had just started to move onto the internet. And it was really rocking. At least I thought it was. Because, you know, it was a big hobby of mine. And I spent a lot of time in front of a computer working on my bulletin board while my new bride was simmering. Okay? Podcasts take a certain amount of dedication. All right? You've just gotten married. Take some time, my friend. Okay? Don't rush into the podcasting thing. Take some time with your wife, okay? That's take some advice from a guy, okay? That's a geek that has spent too much time in front of the computer or, you know, early in his marriage. Don't do it, okay? So you're not getting a free book. Sorry, no. Okay, and I just have to do that. If you started doing a podcast in 3 months from now, you call me and say, you know, you caused me to get a divorce. I wouldn't feel right, so take my advice, take your time, and enjoy your honeymoon time, okay? Now, I've got two entries here, and I'll be very honest with you. I had a very, very hard time picking between them. And I may, what I'll do is I may put the second entry that I have, I may put it at the bottom of the pile, and you may get something later. I don't know, because both the entries were good. But Anthony, my friend, you're going to have something to read as you're on your way to China to pick up your adopted little girl. And I am, You know, I'm all about family, and I think this is a great thing that you're doing. So, Anthony, I'm going you're going to be getting a book, my friend. Make sure that you send me your address to geeknews@gmail.com. Congratulations. And the runner-up is Tim. Tim, great thing on the nonprofit. I really like that. And I'll see what I can do. Depends on how many books I'm going to have to give away. But both of you had great entries. Now, going to some reader news, I got a email from Peter, and it came in tonight, actually, this afternoon. And he listened to show number 67, where we talked a little bit about fair use. And he goes into gives me some great information and talking about why he felt that Google's situation is not a case of fair use. And if you guys remember on show 67, I talk about how Google has been invited in, and this is the key here, they've been invited in by two libraries to scan all of their books in, okay? Now, maybe not all of them, but at least historical ones. I don't know if the plan is to do the entire library, but he is not real happy with this. And what I'm going to do is he put a link in the email to a website at Stanford University, and I'm going to go ahead and link that up, and you guys can check out what Peter referenced me to and what constitutes fair use. And he understands that there are some good needs and some good uses for fair use, but he doesn't believe Google's position is a good one. Okay, on Rich, that's coming out to Hawaii. Hey, friend, when you get out here, make sure that you send me an email. Hey, there's a lot of... I'm glad your wife's coming out to go to school here and you got picked up in a great program. And I think what you're going to find is that if you're looking for housing costs here, the housing market is out of control. So get online, get a realtor, get someone hunting for you right now before you get out here, because it is it's absolutely insanity out here right now. You know, there's bidding wars almost for apartments. It's gotten that bad. So make sure you get a call in to a realtor. Now, I've got some friends here in Hawaii. If you run up against the wall, maybe I can help you out and get you hooked up with somebody that can help you find a place once you guys get out here. And good luck with your wife on the residency program. And also, the last reader email is Andrew, who's going to be sending me some software. Hey, thanks, man. That's such a cool offer, and I really appreciate what you're providing here, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. And I'm not going to go into what Andrew's sending me, but a cool gift for the geek here at Geek News Central. Okay, on the rumor mill, Chris Perillo is going to be making an announcement, apparently on the 1st of June, on a new speaker at Gnomedex. Okay, there's going to be an additional one. I don't know what's going on here. You know, you got Dave Weiner and you got Adam Curry coming, two podcasting kings. You've got, some people are going to say Dave isn't a podcasting king, but he's, you know, he is one of the people behind the movement here. So they're both going to be there, and someone else. And apparently it's a big name, and I kind of pressed Chris, come on, give me a scoop. Who is it? And he went and tell. But he says if the tickets, whatever tickets are remaining, will sell out immediately. So if you've been sitting on the fence whether you're going to go to Gnomedex, think about it. You may want to have that page loaded and be watching for Chris's announcement, because it's supposed to be major. So we will see what happens there. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, got through that. Hey, on the next show, I'm going to be announcing our new sponsor. And I will tell you that it is a great deal, and it's going to be a good deal for you guys. It's going to be added value for the listeners out there. We're going to be bringing to you a great product, okay? And this is a long-term sponsorship, and we're going to hopefully bring some cool stuff to you. Stand by for that. I would have announced it tonight, but we're waiting on for some materials, primarily graphics that are going to go up on the website. And we are also waiting for basically the scripts and stuff that we're going to have for the ads and stuff. So it's good. It's going to really help us out. It's going to allow me to do some additional things here. Okay, the podcast award site still continuing continuing along real good. We've got a couple of sponsors up there, so you guys can check that out at podcastawards.com, and that kicks off on June 15th. All right, what else do I have in my little list of stuff here? I got my Geek News Central website loaded up. Was there anything on here that I wanted to? Oh, one thing. I listened to Adam Curry's podcast, and he was talking about going to Apple and talking to them about the new iTunes integration of basically they're going to make it, sounds like a full integration for podcasts. And they basically, I think what they're going to do is they're going to make that iTunes going to build an RSS element into it so that you can, it's going to be a, you know, one software package to download podcast and organize and manage actually through the iTunes application. And I guess if you, any of you listen to or have read some of the stuff going on in the blogs and on different podcasts on this, this is a pretty big deal. And I guess my only point was is that you know, I think it's good that Apple talked to Adam. I think that's great. And talking about their podcast integration. But I hope that Apple would reach out to some more of us down here in the trenches. And I hope they would reach out to others in the community to get our feedback to them or get some input to them so that we want them to get this right, okay? And hopefully Microsoft will wake up and say, oh, we need to jump on board here too. Because I tell you, if Apple doesn't get it right, I think the podcasting community is at large will be very critical. And, you know, Apple usually does stuff very well, so we'll see how it turns out. Adam seems to be real excited about it, and if he's excited about it, then, you know, they must be doing something very, very exciting. Now, I'm hoping that their implementation is good. All right, loading up the news aggregator here. I'm looking at my little short list, and I have covered everything. Yep. All right. Let's get into the standard content. On I found an article talking about Firefox, and it looks to me like that Firefox is continuing to just make some massive in gains in the percentages being used on for people visiting sites. I looked at my stats on Geek News Central website, and we're actually running now. About 53% of you are coming to the website on Firefox, and another 4 or 5% of other browsers. So I'm really, really pumped up that the numbers have really swung that way. And I think what it's showing is that the people that are casual users of the internet are probably still on Internet Explorer, whereas, you know, those of you out there to listen to this podcast and those of you that are hardcore users have been using Firefox or a different web browser for quite a while. And I think there is a big separation there. Now, of course, we're going to see what Microsoft has up their sleeve here this summer when they release the new version of Internet Explorer version 7. So I guess we know it's going to have tab browsing, but I don't know how much money that Bill has dumped into the update, because, you know, Firefox has got a heck of a lead on them. Now, you know, that machine over there at in Seattle, oh, they, you know, they can do about anything they want considering how much money they've got in the bank. Got my trusty glass of iced tea here tonight. Oh, that is just wonderful. Okay. I'm going to talk about the usability of subscribing to feeds. And I think one of the things I've been seeing, and I get a lot of questions asked, and this is one thing that happened during my KITV interview, was the interviewer really did not understand real simple syndication. He did not understand those little XML buttons or the RSS buttons that that all of you are very familiar with on websites. You know, some people have went to a, you know, basically put a little tag in there to cause those news aggregators that are aware to be able to automatically subscribe, or you basically click on the button and it puts it into your news aggregator. But there's a real good article on Jeffrey Veen's site talking about, you know, Apple has made it real easy for Safari to handle RSS. So he thinks he needs to take it a step further and putting a a little bit of a code. It's a quick rendering of an idea to basically, as people get their mouse close to the XML or RSS button, pops up a little window that says, this is an RSS feed. You can subscribe to this information, then view it in a news aggregator. Well, for some people, they're like, what is that? And what his idea was here is to be able to put a hyperlink in that little pop-up box that says, find out more or get the feed. And I think that's smart. So I'm going to look at how he has done this. And hopefully he's put this code and made it available for people to implement. Because the biggest question I get all the time from new people that find my site or new people that have listeners that are checking out podcasting, they're like, you know, how do we make this whole automated thing work? And if they don't understand what's going on and underlying in the RSS feed, which I don't really want them to understand what's going on there, but we got to make it easier. Got to make it easier for people to subscribe to the podcast. And of course, there's a team of people on the iPodder development team that are trying to come, basically they're racing right now because of Apple's announcement. They are trying to get something laid in stone so that they hopefully can drive the way Apple implements it. But I think they're too late. I know that the iPodder X people with version 3 have enabled one-click subscription where you would basically put podcast ...:// with the URL to your XML file or to your RSS feed. And what that would do is any podcast application that you, if you click on that and you're using iPodder X, it would automatically add the feed to iPodder X. Now, so there's two sides of that camp, and I'm not going to get into the deep details on that, but it's a problem that needs to be solved and quickly. And I don't know if the iPodder X people were, you know, they did a quick fix here, and I don't know if that's the end result or if that's the end way that this should be done. There's other ways to do it. Some are hard where we have to go in and actually make changes to web servers to update the MIME type. And I don't think that's good for casual users of that are doing podcasts, because most of them are going to be like, what? You want me to go into my web blog and update the MIME type or go into my host and update the MIME type? Well, my host doesn't even let me do that, you know? So I don't think that's a good idea. So we'll see how this all falls out. But I think this idea by Jeffrey Venn was really good. And I think I'm going to implement that over on the Geek News Central website. And for those of you that have web blogs, check out this article. And I think that you'll find it interesting. And it's, you know, it's good for those of you that are just got web blogs and not podcasts, okay? Or anybody, if you're a company out there and you have an RSS feed, this is probably a good way to do this. Now, there was a article that came out on the Blog Business Summit that talks about basically a difference between John Dvorak and A-list bloggers. A-list bloggers being people like Joy Ito, Robert Scoble, Dan Gilmore, Doc Searles, Dave Weiner, Clay Shirky. Those are A-list bloggers. You know, they get lots of mentions on a multiple day. You know, people are linking to them all the time. And to give an example here, Joy Ito has in Google 775,000 links back to him, where his name is actually mentioned with a link back to his website. Robert Scoble has 610,000, Dan Gilmore 561. I read all these guys' websites. Now, if you guys, those of you that have been with me since the early beginning, will remember that John Dvorak had not so favorable things to say to me, actually say about me in this podcast in the early days. And he's only tracking 58,000, you know, and he gets paid to write, you know, and here you've got individuals that don't necessarily get paid to write. A few of these guys do. Feel more professional writers, but John does not have that many links back to his, you know, to him in Google. So, yawn there, I'm sorry. But it brings up a pretty good question. Who's really being read, you know, and who's actually being linked to? So, and I've got a little trick up my sleeve. And John, what I'm gonna do if you're listening is that article that you put up on your website, I'm going to print that out, and then out of the books that I get personally, that not the ones that I'm providing for this any of these contests or anything, but one of the books that I get personally for part of my contract, I'm going to print that article out. I'm going to fold it up nicely. I'm going to tape it into one of the books. I'm going to sign it and thank John for the article, because the day John wrote that article, my numbers on my podcast went through the roof. You know, it was early on. So, you know, the increase was dramatic. And I want to thank him for that, because that really helped drive some of the stuff going on here. And I think some people started listening to me because they don't like John. So they just, to spite him, they came over here and started tuning in. So that's just funny. Okay, a couple of years ago, there's a guy that I know that has been doing a BBS documentary. It's actually been in work for quite a long time. And he has finished the documentary. It's went to a press. It's all completed. 3 DVDs, a real nice case. And it arrived Monday, I believe. And I was pumped. I was stoked to get this. Now, I got to go back and give you guys a little history. 1980, let's see here, it was 15 years ago, because my oldest daughter's 15. So that takes us back, what, we're in 2005 now. So that would have been, oh boy, 90 then? So 90, and then a couple of years before that, probably 87, 88 time frame, I started the BBS Network's BBS. And it was primarily when I was living in Guam, and I had a multi-line system over there, and I was big into it. I spent many, many thousands of hours in front of a computer screen enhancing and building the BBS. And matter of fact, it is still online today at bbsnets.com. It's still running after all these years. But all these people that I have talked to online, you know, sending messages back and forth via FidoNet and everything else, you know, I've never seen their face. And out comes this BBS documentary. And I was actually supposed to be on it, but Jason was not able to come out to Hawaii, or when I was actually in Maryland, he wasn't able to do anything either. And so we missed hooking up, and I had sent him basically a written interview. But he's got a 3 DVD set on the history of bulletin board systems. I'm blown away by this thing. I'm sitting in front, and of course, my wife is like, "What? More BBS stuff?" You know, and I'm like, "These are people that I have never seen before, that I've communicated with, and I'm hearing all this history some of the history I knew, some I didn't." So, any of you that are hardcore or used to be hardcore BBS guys that spent hours and hours on the boards, having $1,000 phone bills because you were dialing in at 300 baud. Or 1200 baud, or 2400, or whatever it may have been at the time, and checking out BBS systems, or maybe running one of your own and have an old computer stuck in a closet someplace. This is a three DVD set that you're going to want to get. It's going to go in my most treasured spot in the house. I'm a hardcore BBS user from SysOp from for years. So, and you know, the BBS now that's still online is still have a FidoNet node number 1 tech, or 1:10/345. Matter of fact, I'm the node coordinator for Hawaii, but I'm the only guy out here that's running a FidoNet board still. So, but there's a few of us left, and bbsnets.com is a website. If you want to check it out, you can telnet in. You can come in via HTTP. Some of you are going, "Telnet? What is telnet?" And if you don't know what Telnet is, just come in via your web browser and check out the site. You won't get the full effect unless you can log in and see all the nice little ANSI that comes up on the computer screen. Quite a difference, you know. And we could almost do a couple of podcasts on that subject alone someday. But great documentary, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And it's not a necessarily inexpensive set. I think it was around $70, but this guy went all over the country and interviewed all kinds of people, and I haven't got through it all yet, but it's well worth the money. Okay, Yahoo is testing an email service for photos, and basically, what you're going to do is you're just going to send an email, and it's going to, with the attachments, and it'll make thumbnails of the photos, and kind of a cool little thing that they're putting together. It's at photomail.mail.yahoo.com. I'll put the link up. It's in testing, but all this stuff that's going on with pictures that you can put on the internet and Flickr and the whole nine yards is awesome. And being able to print some of those prints right online and either via your computer, with at home, or actually get them professionally printed, is all that stuff has been so easy now, and you can just dump thousands and thousands of pictures onto these websites. I mean, you still want to keep a backup, of course, but it's nice to be able to have them online and share them with family and friends. Okay, I've been toting that we need to have some sort of a home network-aware media server. And basically, I want to have a computer in my closet. It's just a box that I push a button and it turns on, and it basically becomes my media center, my file server, everything else. And it looks like that we're getting close to one actually being in existence. It's called the Snap Server 1100, and it's a combination of different types of technologies, and you can use it for streaming media to your high-definition TVs, all kinds of crazy stuff that this thing can do, and it's just the beginning, and I think all of us are looking forward to the day where, if we're sitting in front of our, I don't have a widescreen, but if you're sitting in front of your widescreen, bring a menu up and, load something from your computer upstairs, whether it be a playlist or some podcast or some video blogs or whatever it may be, I think it'd be cool. I talked to some of the Hawaii Association of Podcaster people, and we're actually talking about maybe doing a roundtable here at the house where we actually create a podcast about podcasting, actually video it also. And I guess we're going to see where we go with that, and we'll play around with the idea. But I think it'd be a lot of fun. Hey, it's just geeks having fun. What can I say? Okay, there's another little device that'll go along for those of you that have Mac Minis. It's called the Mini Partner. And what it has another hard drive in. It's got FireWire, USB connections, all kinds of cool little stuff. And it's about as thick as the Mini is, it looks like. And I don't know if I want my Mini getting much thicker than or much taller than what it is, because it won't fit in the little spot that I've got it at. But those of you that have a Mini that are looking for some extra hard drive space and you don't want to necessarily have a FireWire drive laying around, this might be a good alternative. And I found that over on the Engadget website. There is a site out that has, called a zombie meter. And it tracks the number of new zombies, and basically a zombie is a computer that has been taken over and is owned by a person that is either using it to do denial of service attacks, or they're sending email out with it, or something to that effect. But what I was amazed is that, and they're tracking these things, so far this month, CyberTrust, and this is a company that's running the zombie meter, has found an average of 172,000 new zombies per day. About 26% of those were in the European Union, and 20% in the United States, and 15% in China. And then the rest spread out throughout the rest of the world. But wow, 172,000 a day? There's some people up there doing some serious hacking, If they're getting that many machines and infecting that many, totally, totally amazing. And that's going to lead to another story that I found here in a little bit. I'll talk about it. I should have had it lined up one after the other, but kind of ran out of time tonight. There's a, of course, the high-definition radio, and those of you that are big into radio, not necessarily listen to podcasts all the time, what's going to be happening is they're going to be digitizing the RF spectrum for radio, the radio frequencies, and they're going to be able to, just like, on your, those of you that are the days before cable, where we only had a few local channels, and that's kind of the way it is with radio right now. You have a few local channels, and there's only so many channels they can put in because of the, the separation they have to put between frequencies. But high definition radio is going to basically break that spectrum up and into a digital format so that they can get many, many, many more channels in this on the same frequency. And it's basically multiplexing and doing some, it's not that complicated, really, but they're going to be building radios now that's going to start going into cars, and desks, and the pricing looks pretty good too, between $150 and $250 for those types of radios are going to start showing up. So I guess if you live in a major city where radio stations are going to be start doing some of this HD radio, this may be maybe the time. And what I think is going to be good about that is radio stations are going to be pressed maybe to fill all of that content. So maybe podcasting will slip into some of those digital channels. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, it's the merging of the technologies, I guess. Nick Bradbury is talking about a new version of FeedDemon that is basically going to allow, he's going to allow you to, and he took this idea from some suggestions from some people out there, and it's going to be he's calling it a river of news. And what you'll do is you'll load a channel, and it'll actually list all of the news in different ways. He can stack it in different ways, from oldest to newest, by podcast, or not by podcast, by website. Some of that features has already been in FeedDemon, but it's going to be greatly expanded upon on the next release. And he says, unfortunately, it isn't a clean update, so I don't know what he means by that. I don't know if we're going to have to deinstall FeedDemon and reinstall this new version, or if it'll go over the top. It isn't completely apparent, but there is looks like he's going to have a beta out here soon for that. Okay, Bank of America is to launch an ID theft protection, and that basically boils down, they lost a bunch of people's data here recently, and it's going to be a three-way process now to get into online banking. You're going to have to select an image that you have chosen. You're going to have to answer a phrase or provide a phrase that you provided to the bank, along with what else? There's a couple other things. Password, username, they're going to make it real tough to get into your online accounts, but it's just because of all this, ID theft that's been going on out there. So it's nice to see that they're stepping up their effort on that part. Okay, there's a scam, not necessarily a scam. It's actually something that's pretty terrible, and it's been a few documented cases going around, but hackers have found a new way to terrorize those of you that have computers. Basically, what happens is you get into your computer one morning, you try to open up a Word document or anything, and you can't because they've been locked. And what it's turning out to be is people have hacked people's computers, password encoded all of their data, then they send them an email and say, hey, you give me $200, I'll unlock it. So it's an extortion ring, and apparently it has been effective. So if you get an email that says, send me $200 to unlock your data, start looking around and making sure that your Word files and stuff are not password, they haven't been messed with. Now, this is why I've always said that you need to store your important documents either on a backup drive, put them on a CD, put them on a stick, a USB stick, whatever you got to do. Just remember, you never know what's going to happen to your computer day to day. Have a plan to back up your PCs, whether it be weekly, twice a week. You know, my machines automatically do something every night here, and I have a full strategic plan laid out on how I back up my data, and it's a three-step process. And it goes even so far as I have one hard drive and a safety deposit box that I swap out every month, just in case something catastrophic here happens at the house, and let's say there was a fire. You know, your life is on that data, you know, all your records and everything. So protect the stuff that's out there. Now, looks like some torrent sites were taken down by Uncle Sam here this week, and some other sites have voluntarily shut down. And it was there going, basically the feds were going after sites that were running trackers that had copyrighted material on it. So those that are running trackers out there are basically going, and those of you that are out there downloading stuff, be careful. They're looking at it real close now. Along with that, the four-letter word Notorious RIAA has took another shot at some people that are Internet 2 users at 33 university campuses have been served. They basically say pay up for sharing files, along with another group of people that are just on the regular internet. So, again, RIAA is not lightening up their attack on people that are sharing music. Now, some cool news on the science front. Boy, we are running late tonight. We're already at 40 minutes. Voyager 1 has entered the final frontier. And what they are saying is that NASA's Voyager 1 has reached the final frontier of the solar system, having traveled through a turbulent place where electrical charged particles from the sun crash into thin gas from the interstellar space. So imagine that, 26 years, Voyager still sending data home. It's got enough propellant to basically keep the navigation systems and and battery power, etc., to last to 2020. So it's out there a long, long, long way. So pretty cool article on Wired. And just goes to show you that technology continues to, you know, it's amazing. That's an amazing machine, considering that was launched in 1977. And think of the technology that's in that spacecraft. And it's still working great. It's beautiful, isn't it? Okay, the Federal Trade Commission has basically asked internet service providers to go so far as shutting down people's machines if they have been hacked and made into zombies. So they have asked 3,000 internet providers worldwide to make sure that their customers' computers haven't been hijacked by spammers who want to cover their tracks and pass bandwidth cost onto others. Now, some internet service providers have been doing this already and helping their users get their machines cleaned up, but I think this is a good idea. You know, I really, really do. You know, if people aren't taking the time to take care and secure the computers and they've been made into zombies and are being used for denial of service attacks on people's websites, I think this is a, good thing. So we'll see if anybody can, you know, acts on this FTC recommendation. Business Week has a good article on podcasting. Some of the regular, talks about some of the regular players out there, and also some podcasts I haven't heard. Haven't heard of before, so I'm going to check out some of these podcasts that they recommend, and you all can too over at businessweek.com. For those of you that are using WinApp, do you realize that application is now internet TV capable? I really didn't know that, and a little article on the WinApp site on that, I'll link that up so you can check it out. Okay, here is something that you're going to want to get. If you're a Firefox user, you're going to go over to Netcraft's website and pick up the anti-phishing toolbar. And this thing's been being downloaded like crazy. Over 60,000 people have downloaded it within, I guess, the first week here. First couple of days, actually. It was released on Tuesday, and it's already been downloaded 60,000 times. So get over to, I'll have the link up, obviously. So get over to the to the Netcraft's website and download this anti-phishing toolbar for Firefox. This will be a great addition to basically securing your computing experience. Along with that, Microsoft has launched some anti-spam tools for internet service providers. And if you're a system administrator out there, they have some new tools available. And I think it's probably well worth the look at. Over on the National Institute for Technologies and Liberal Education website, and this is something that makes me happy, they're saying that brain downloads are going to be possible by 2050. You know, let's see here, 2050, this is 2005, that's me 45 years, that would make me, you know, I might be losing brain cells by then. So they need to hurry that up, they need to make that about 2030. So I'm about 60 when they download me instead of 85. So, yeah, this would be cool. I've always said that, you know, I'd like to be, jack me in and download me. Then I can, you know, put a virtual person around that, information and I can basically live in cyberspace, podcasting from the hard drive, not to the hard drive. David Selfridge is reporting that Technorati is tracking 1 million distinct tags, and there's been 14 million tagged posts. So tags are basically, any of you that are using any of the major weblog software, is when you set a category on something, that registers as a tag. So very interesting. On the some more news in the space scene, a solar sail is launch date has been set. And it's going to be nice to see that we're going to get a little more experimentation out there on the solar sail technology. That we'll see how that goes. Now, there is a launch window that's going to start on June 21st. And this thing's going to deploy a 30-meter solar sail using some light pressure to gradually expand the aircraft's orbit. So this will be cool. We'll see how this works and be a nice test. Can you imagine that? 30 meters across, you're in the International Space Station. You look out the window and say, "Hey, what's that parachute that's coming at us?" Oh man, I'm being silly tonight. Okay, got turned on. This is the final article for the evening. I got turned on by a Star Wars fan to something that's totally, totally cool. Apparently, have you guys heard about Star Wars Revelations? The Rebellion Begins. Have you guys heard about this? What this is a independent film that has the blessing of Lucas. And he has made, I guess, an amazing movie. He used $20,000 of his own money to make this film. And the trailer, you guys got to get over, if you don't know anything else, check out the trailer. I don't know how, if he's going to distribute this. I haven't got the full details on that. The graphics will blow you away. You know, you don't need to be in Lucas's studios to do this type of high-end graphic stuff. This guy has got an amazing trailer. And if the movie is any, it's going to be like another Star Wars hit. I'm telling you, this thing is shockingly good. And one of the best independent type of clips I've seen in a long, long, long time. Okay, folks, I am going to tune some music in tonight. Might as well go. We're long. I might as well give you a little tune at the end. But I want to thank you for tuning into the Geek News Central podcast. As always, I can be reached at Geek News Central. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, or you can call the caller voicemail line at 619-342-7365. I'll be back with you next Tuesday, and we will be announcing our new sponsor. That's going to be a great, great announcement for us. And thanks for being with me. I really appreciate it. No contest over the weekend. Everyone, enjoy your Memorial Day. Be safe, okay? I know some of you are going to be listening to in the cars. If you're driving somewhere, be safe. And if you're going to go out there and have a few cocktails, make sure you got a designated driver. I want you all back with me next Tuesday. Enjoy the weekend and have a great, great day. Thanks, everybody. See you soon. Okay, the independent music I'm going to give you tonight is Ambulance Limited, Primitive, The Way I Treat You. Enjoy. Oh, was that a cool song? I really do like that song. I like independent music. Thanks, folks. See you Tuesday. Bye-bye.